I got to tell you, to me, it's just heartbreaking. When I hear people say that there is more than one way to heaven, or that Jesus is just one of many ways, but not the way. Let me share with you the words from Proverbs 16, verse 25, which is so very fitting. And they say this, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." There are people all around us who believe in a whole lot of things. And there are also many who think that they believe in Jesus. Only it's a very different Jesus. The Jesus, who is the only Son of God, spoke plainly and with certainty that there is only one way to the Father. Do I sound like I'm getting excited? Well, I can't help it. Because as I said, it's heartbreaking when people think another way. On the night before Jesus died, in the upper room, he said this, as recorded in John 14, 6. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, in those words, there's no room for interpretation. Let's face it, Jesus said it so you can believe it. There's no wiggle room to fit some progressive agenda. The truth is that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Luke reminds us of this fact in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. "Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." I truly believe that Jesus is the one who saved us and is the only way to heaven. If you don't believe that, then I don't see how you could possibly call yourself a Christian. My daughter Teresa, when she was much younger, often reminded me of one of her favorite Bible verses from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus was asked about how many people will be saved, and he replied this, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Now in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus unquestionably laid the way for us, saying, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Eternal rest can only be found in him. Now, Jesus further explained this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, saying that the way would not be an easy one. "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." When Marilyn, John, Teresa, and I visited Trinity School for Ministry for the very first time in October of 2001, by the way, it was October 11th of 2001, 1 month after 9/11, we flew from Jacksonville to Pittsburgh, and was as we were advised by Bishop Steve Jekko of this Diocese of Florida, and we were quite surprised. He had suggested to us three seminaries to look at, to talk with, and visit, including Trinity. We had contacted a very large school in Virginia with big buildings and sprawling lawns, and catalog was amazing. It was about this thick. When we got to go to Trinity in Ambridge, Pennsylvania, we found several small buildings grouped together on a small urban piece of property. As we visited and prayed with the leadership during our visit, I kept getting the sense that this was a perfect example of a narrow door. Needless to say, we spent three wonderful years there learning so much and being in a wonderful community of believers. It's not the size that matters, but the beliefs and faith that make a difference. A narrow door, indeed. At the risk of repeating myself, Jesus is the way to heaven. He's not one of many, or an alternative route that complies with political correctness, or the culture of the day, which allows inclusivity, trying not to make people feel left out. There's one certain thing. If you believe all of the mumbo-jumbo about many ways and who they think Jesus is, well, I got to tell you that you will spend your eternity searching for peace and for that Jesus who you think is as they describe him. Better wake up before it's too late. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:18 about believing in him. And I'm not necessarily speaking to the people that got up on a Sunday morning to come to church, but I'm speaking to people who are watching on the internet and will watch this recording later or maybe in days to come. I'm speaking to their hearts and telling them how important it is. I want you all to hear these words of Jesus. He told Nicodemus, whoever believes in him, meaning the only Son of God, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. This is important. He said, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Knowing the one true Jesus Christ means salvation. But not everyone will go to heaven. Jesus said that in today's Holy Gospel. Sadly, not everyone that even wants to go to heaven will. Getting into heaven has to be on God's term and not on ours. In Luke 13:3, Jesus said, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. There's that word that makes so many people uncomfortable. Repent. In Matthew 18:3, Jesus told his disciples, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Another uncomfortable thought for some people is the word change. People don't like to change. In Matthew 19:23-24, Jesus once again spoke to his disciples. Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Riches don't always mean the coins in your pocket, but about who and what you put first. The Apostle John warned us about non-believers and skeptics who would try to stack the deck with false evidence against Jesus. You might remember there was a movie a while back called The Da Vinci Code that did its best to show that Jesus was not the Son of God. And then there were people who were talking about a lot of those false Gnostic Gospels that were brought out. There was the Gospel of Thomas and the Gospel of Mary Magdalene that were written hundreds of years after Jesus was on the earth. People present those things simply to confuse and cause doubt. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 to 12, the Apostle John said that whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he's not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you want real truth, then read the Bible. The Apostle Paul wrote these words to Titus that speak about these kinds of people. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. Titus chapter 1, verses 15 to 16. My friends, the clock is ticking. As a matter of fact, the clock started ticking the moment that first nail was driven through Jesus' hands. And we don't know when Jesus is going to return and call the judgment. But it's certain that we do need to be ready. Going to church is not enough. Being sincere is not enough. Being a good person is not enough. Being religious is not enough. Following is not submitting. Look at Jesus' words from today's Holy Gospel from Luke, chapter 13, verses 25 to 27. Jesus said, "When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.'" Here were people who had been following Jesus, ate with him and listened to him, and may have not even truly heard a word he said. And sadly, it had no impact on them. Another reason might have been that following Jesus was just a popular thing to do, following the one who claimed to be the Messiah. And they thought that they would be covered merely by association. Sadly, we might find that kind of attitude in many churches and even youth groups today. Jesus said that a lackadaisical attitude would never cut it, and that we need to be alert and be ready. In his parable of the 10 bridesmaids, Jesus told these women that they were unprepared. They wanted to borrow oil from the others, and he didn't take it seriously. And then they had to leave to buy oil for their lamps. When the bridegroom arrived, they weren't there. When they came later to the banquet, the door was closed. They begged to get in, but they were told, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you." Matthew chapter 25, verse 12. My brothers and sisters in Christ, if you want a truly remarkable relationship with Jesus for all eternity, today would be the best time for you to repent of your sins, turning away from them forever and turning to Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life and the door to your salvation before the door is closed. Jesus said, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come." That's Mark 13, verses 32 to 33. Jesus is holding open the gate of the kingdom of God and urging people to enter. He said the door isn't very wide and it'll take real commitment to get in. One day, not very long from now, that door will shut, and then it'll be too late. Please keep in mind that to truly know Jesus is to enter through the narrow gate. You need to seek him and call on him, submit to him, surrendering your will to him, share your faith in him, making your faith in him public. Jesus, the narrow door, the sheep gate, as he has called it, is the entrance to the pasture of the Good Shepherd. And I pray that these words in closing of Psalm 95:7 will lift your hearts and lead you today. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.